Okay, so as we continue our journey in the book of the Psalms, I want to remind you about some important details that our team highlighted in this sermon about 2 weeks ago. He reminded us that the Psalms are God-inspired and infallible Jewish poetry, no matter the Jewish hymns, although we do not know the Jewish. These songs or hymns, he says, appear in 5 main categories. Messianic songs, wisdom songs, justice song, complaint song, and of course, praising the Lord song. Psalm chapter 2 is a messianic song, whose lyrics reveal to us the glory of the Son of God, the King, the ruler. This song does not introduce us to the suffering side, the suffering side of that song, opening lament, my God, why are you saved? Rather, through this song, come to David, helps us visualize a most powerful, glorifying, and fearsome person. The anointed. The one who governs the nation with a broad iron. The one set apart to rule with a scepter of iron, crushing and polarizing his enemies. I want to support that has not been revealed to us. And as in Psalm chapter 1, the composer's name does not appear in the Psalm. According to the name of the reference instruction, that by shrouding the name of over the Lord in our mindset is people who focus on the central options of the Psalm, rather than get distracted by the peculiar events that are not prompted and imposed to attend on the day. In this way, God worships us with not presented when we have a Psalm, but without the Psalm, to direct the attention to its human composer, but rather to this mysterious and immutable, revealed to us throughout the text by the ultimate force. And by the way, you might be asking, why is simple for some? Because if you pay attention to the clinical attention, you have noticed the condition of the disease. And I said that through this time, the data helps us visualize identify the community with government missions in the Western Army. But then I went on the mission as a matter of fact that the author's name is hidden from his son. So my attention. No, that's not a misstatement. It's not a contradiction. We know for a fact that David was his son, even though they made him not be in the appeal. How do we know that? The scriptures say, the Bible says. Acts, the book of Acts, Peter and John have been arrested for being in the name of Jesus. And I've been ordered by the Jesus leaders not to preach in the name of Jesus. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, 26, it reads, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "Oh Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the nation, why did the Gentiles and the peoples divine people of things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Christ." So at least we know from this prayer, for a certainty, that the Holy Spirit goes to the mouth of our father David, goes to his son. But it also matters to this time that the mighty David, because after all, he was the shadow of all these matters. But he was inspired by God to write this. So now let's try and put some truth in context, and understand the setting. About a year ago, I was privileged to preach in Solomon, right in Grace. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for affording me the opportunity to just scratch in that sound and pray. Many Bible scholars believe that Psalm 2 is an extension of Solomon, and therefore that they must be read in the beginning of the prayer. Psalm 1 gives for us a picture of a blessed man, the blessed. The one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, who stands in the way of sinners, who sits in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man who delights in the Lord of the Lord and meditates upon it day and night, the blessed person who flourishes in and out of sleep, because like a healthy tree whose roots are firmly planted by the spirit of water, he continuously produces fruit. We know that although the first matter of the Psalm 21 presents us the benchmark we are all to see as we endeavor to see, this description of the blessed man can only fully and correctly be attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it is only him of whom we can say with clear conscience that whatever he does, I remember the sermon in Psalm 1, sermon that this first chapter is the prologue to the entire book. It is the present, it's the keyhole that lets us peer into the vast, priceless hole of biblical truth in God and into the final chambers of the fairies that let God peer into the world. Psalm 1 is is the essence of the entire book of Psalms, establishing the meaning of the Word of God as revealed to us. Yeah. But as we peer through this Psalm 1 here into the grand, melodious theater of the book of Psalms, found you, as we peel off this person's head, someone, as we raise someone's person, we are met in some truth with a shocking feeling. A flattering, agitating, disturbing approach, an out of control insurrection or mutiny is at play. It's playing out right before our eyes. Now let me back up for a moment because I'd like us to try and be honest. Imagine yourself walking into that forest scene and you're going to watch a movie of King David. You see the attraction on YouTube. So you said, and your expectations are that the movie begins, or you know, come down, you know, sleep, you know, you expect to see what you see, it's hard to get, extremely humble teams to be, to check the call that to be, anointed the king of Israel, maybe a part of it. You know, just a nice green background. But no, just as you begin to settle in your seats, the movie begins. And before you even have a chance to blink, you hear a thundering defiant roar. The drums, the noise, the noise of war. For battle treatment, so powerful are the sound effects that the almost roll off the The first thing you see, he's finishing army. Each soldier constantly pumping his football, cheering on their champion Goliath, the giant. And before he can blink again, he's already racing towards the shepherd boy, ready to tear his pieces. And you're like, hey, what's this all about? You're not missing his level, and you're already at the climax. So this is kind of what we're seeing here. It's not true. The mission. Now, Psalm 2 is divided into a segment or sections of scenes. Each scene focuses on one main character of the section. So, stanza 1, stanza 2, stanza 3, stanza 4. And in the first scene, the first stanza, this is 1 to 3, you see the nations and their rulers in the heart. Then the next scene, you see the second character of the scene. For six God the Father laughs and scoffs. In scene 3, the 7 to 9, God the Son proclaims his father. And then in the last, God the Holy Spirit rent hundreds, sternly warns, and calls to repentance. So let's quickly examine the standards of the time. So scene 1, verses 3 to 1. The nations and their leaders are in the opening scene of Psalm 2 begins with the tumultuous assembly and angry, defiant man, spewing out his hatred, his vitriol, a restless, violent, God-hating mob is in the mouth. These petrified leaders. But the psalm begins with the word, why? The original word is Ma. Now this was a basic, what did it mean in the first place? Ma, in this instance, is an expression of astonishment, of surprise, of bewilderment. It's like, how? It's interrogative, and can be translated literally. How now? In modern language, David would be asking, what on earth are these people? Why are they even hating the team such as God? What are they doing to themselves? They're a bunch of angry babies to love, headbutting a man. Have you lost your mother? Now, this is not a lamb to throw out of the chair. David is not standing at an army trial. God's benefactor, God's event, putting stories of those puny creatures that turn against him. Oh my, he's going to heaven, because the nations have gathered in unison as one thing, united all the forces in God in the voice of space. Not the person God is one. David is dumbfounded by this behavior that the Lord is utterly mystified. This is suicidal insanity. But the nations are in a conflict, and the people God, No doubt the words of the are different. The word using possesses some two are different. But they both bring up the same idea. Some two is good. The disaster is the chasing after the wind. Now these people are standing against the God of the sun, the God of heaven. And in counting Jesus, we see and read that the valley of the sea was full, and the foundation of the earth lay bare at your rebuke for it, at the last of the breath from the nostrils. The breath from God's nostrils can shake the foundation of the earth. That's what they're saying. Moses, in Exodus 15, explained what God did. We are told that God touched the water of the Lord, and then the storm in the country. God's not a prophecy, but he touched the water, and then boom, this water, this wall, and this courier of the Lord. A strong wind. And it's not only said that, he said, at the last of your commission, the waters in the Red Sea were come up. The flowing water stood up like a heap. That he did at the blood of God's muscle, the deeds were consumed. They became firm walls in the heart of the Red Sea, just at the blood of God's muscle. That's thinking for a moment. God can destroy an entire universe. Behold the awesome, overwhelming, petrifying power of God. This is the God, the people, the nation, the king, the judges of his world. Are standing in place. That utter insanity. You can't do that. No wonder David interrogates why? Ah. Now, so what are the nations doing? All the while they think God is not seeing what they're doing. What does he see? What that means is he doing? In fact, the term divine actually means that he's just the thunder, ruminating, chewing the fat. Contrast this with the blessed man, is my one who meditates upon the word of God. They are meditating instead on empty things. They are pondering on how to refine the smoke and vapor of defiance. They defy God's law. They rebel against the Lord of the Lord. When we meet the term Lord, the Lord is anointed, I think the parents recently that is Tetragrammaton. YHWH, Yahweh, that's what it was in my name, Yahweh. This is the name that God revealed to Moses and said, I am who I am. So they are standing up against the sun. Now, the Nazi used the term the Lord anointed. Who is this anointed? They stand against the Lord and his anointed. The word anointed in this original Hebrew text means Mashiach or Messiah. For the New Testament Greek, Mashiach or Messiah is translated Christos, who already saw that in Acts chapter 4. So in verse 2 we read, the king of the earth take their stand against the ruler, and the ruler take their counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For the Lord and his Messiah. The only thing the wicked will ever achieve out of it is they stand against one who they can trust. What is motivating? What is it that motivates? Why are they so? Well, children is spread from above and supply to the earth. But the people refuse to do that. The host spoke one language. And they will us believe that because they have gathered around themselves a myriad of followers, they could easily defy the Lord, who is formidable for us. We are creating a new man-made religion, and believe that the more united the world is defined, the more powerful it will become. And therefore, the more difficult, if only possible, it would be for God to unseat them from their earthly dominion. Surely, the heads which are around them. God is the one who could never stand against such a formidable and united, God-defined army of builders. Of the one world government, the one world religion encapsulated in the Tower of Babel. We will reach the heavens and make a great name of ourselves. But what did they actually succeed in doing? What did they end up with? What did they achieve? Nothing. Nothing at all. God is a king. And Genesis 11, 9 tells us from there the Lord started the whole purification of the world. God achieved his purpose. Then, where is God being able to? I know. The children's paradise. God is still in his time. Tower of Babel is nothing that teaches the sea of the children of God. So this gives you the second standard. The second theme, verse 4 to 6, God the Father laughs at this. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have been so fulfilled king of my time, my holy mountain. The Father's reaction is interesting. The way he came before him is terrifying. First, we're told that he sits in heaven. He who sits in heaven. The Lord saw him. And here's some key words for us. He sits. Here is nothing. The world is in an uproar. A ruler of this army of the future Jesus is falling apart, but not yet. He's too restless. There are many examples in the Bible. King David, and his son rose against him, and that conspiracy has been cured, and now the group was beginning to their group. And David realizes, I'm standing back in my mind. What do we see? He takes him to sleep. He runs, therefore. No time to reorganize himself. He can't be seen on his own for the enemy. David is not seen for himself. But God, God is not restless. He's not going to save the panic. He's not thinking out of down, waiting to see them as a result. Trying to figure out how to move on. How can I move on something in the he's not in the borrowed form. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the ruler over all the rulers. And no one can ever be found. His throne is in heaven. And the earth? Well, the earth is his feet. He has his foot resting firmly on the necks of all the faithful, mutinous kings, presidents, governors, judges, rulers, all over the earth. And one day, if they don't repent, his son will dash them to pieces like a rock. He laughs, we are told, and scoffs at the hero. This is not laughter of merriment. The Hebrew word for laugh is bachek, which means to laugh in contempt, in derision, or to disdain. to last one. God's cross at the nation and there are rulers. He must think of what value it means, urgently to glory to God, having received the reward of glory and mercy. Only to find, when they get there, that they are being confronted by a mob of teens, armed to the teeth with murderers, decrying their memories and throwing honeycomb paper over them. I guess, and then send them money back home to mommy. People are living. God asks. But then, what is it you can see God's? What is it that He has already installed His King, Jesus Christ? His Son. To sit on his throne upon his holy mountain. He already ruled over all nations. He ruled over the Old and New Testament church. He is the head of his church. Nothing changed. And he will govern his people. He will govern all nations as he chooses. But then this leads us now to the first. Because God is trying to gain this prophecy. As soon as the Father gives the nations to this Son, the Son speaks up. We need to ask the decree of the Lord. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord, who said to me, your Son today I have to be upon you. Jesus is the begotten of God. He is superior to all creatures. He is the only one who God holds as a son of God. And as good more accurately as my only son, exclusive forever, exclusive. Jesus is the God, not the God. That's a mystery. The Lord calls him as a son. The life of the Hebrews makes our work in the account of the son of God. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in various ways. But these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed. He appointed heir of all things, and through whom we also need to be. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus sustains all things just by his powerful word. Kingdoms, kings, judges, are very sustained by Jesus Christ. After he has provided purification of his sins, he stands down at the right hand of the man of the majesty. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he had inherited was superior to God's. Then he quotes something. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have become your father. Or I have begotten you. Or again, I will be his father, I will be his son. So he's speaking to Jesus as a man, a God man. And he's saying, you are fulfilled what I sent you to do. Enter into the rest. You are my son. It's not that he's getting in there. This is a mystery. God, he gets the son of God. even the most advanced robots now, the so-called human, such as the new force that you yourself reported can smile. These robots can smile, see the future and laugh. Things you can put in the shop. to rejoice with them and to do honor yeah. to the Son. The best thing coming to your churches is to understand your true interest while you have time and space for repentance and salvation. So God will give you time and that opportunity. The time will come when it's too late, too late. Too late to repent. Too late, you say. The time is not too late. So, do it one day. Father Joseph says, we kiss the Son. So this should be understood not so much as an affection of kids, but as a man of kids who submits in a customary way. In fact, in the baptism, if one does not bow to kiss the king's name, foot, or bow to the ground, whatever the custom required to be done, it will be deemed as a privilege. Haman wanted every Jew in the first kingdom to death because one Jew did not bow to the king. Haman was only perfect as a man who needs a heart. God deserves this. He has eternal. What does the Spirit say? He says to you, the Holy Spirit warns you. What does he say when you do not pray? He says, the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God warns. He says that you should surrender to the Son. That's something. The Son's wrath to his sins and sinners, and they will perish in their death. Of course, even in this one day, because the end of the world, the heart of those who take refuge in sin. How blessed is the Lord! How blessed is the girl! How blessed is the woman! How blessed is the man who takes refuge! He takes us back to Psalms. Blessed is that person who has not known his name, standing with us, to see him with his own eyes, his own body, and in the midst of his life, he's like a tree planted by the stream of water, which bears fruit.
Yeah,
they find it.
Lord Jesus, we deserve that. We give all of our worship.